Mark chapter 5. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I find that I have problems that I can't solve. Sometimes they are small problems. Sometimes they are big problems. And those small problems, I found one of the great ways to find answers is to Google it. You need an answer, you go to Google and you search. I have a problem right now that renders this one of the most useless pieces of equipment on earth. This is an old cell phone. And this cell phone has this problem that the screen keeps going white on it. It'll work for a little while, then the screen will go white, and you can't see anything. So I began to look for a solution to it. I got on the internet, I Googled it, I entered the model of the phone, and I entered white screen. I found hundreds of people who were having the same problem. But you know what I found out? Nobody had the answer to what was wrong with it. They didn't know how to fix it. They said they'd contacted the manufacturer. I don't know that the manufacturer knew what was wrong with it. So I have this useless cell phone sitting around my house now. But sometimes it's not that way just with small problems. Sometimes it's that way with big problems. We'll have a big problem and we search all over for the answer. We read all the books we can. We talk to all the people that we can talk to, trying to find the solution. If you have a money problem, some people call Clark Howard. Some people call Dave Ramsey. If you have a relationship problem, who do you call? Dr. Phil, right? If you just need a general answer to anything, call the fount of all wisdom, Oprah. She can give you all the answers to your problems, right? We have these problems and we look for the answers, but there's a real danger as a believer, and actually there's a real danger for anyone, for looking for answers to our problems in life in some place other than Jesus Christ. We have an example here in Mark chapter 5 of a lady who, when she saw her situation, she came to the realization that Jesus Christ was all that she needed. When it came down to it, Jesus was the only thing she needed. Start with me in verse 21, if you will, and we're going to read this powerful example of this lady who depended on Christ for her needs. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of a synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at home at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched thee? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole from thy plague. The title of this message this morning is taken from the main truth of this passage. That truth is Jesus Christ is all you need. Let's pray. Father, I come to you this morning and you know the need that I have here. You know the needs that these people have here. Lord, I need your power. Lord, I need your energy this morning. I ask that you would give it to me. Lord, I want so desperately to labor, striving according to your working, which works in me mightily. Lord, I ask that you would, by your Spirit, would minister, that you would teach these who are here today. Lord, I ask that today would be the salvation day of salvation for some. Lord, I ask that today would be the day that believers turn back to Christ and see him as all that they need. Lord, I need you now. Fill me, I pray. Lord, we believe the promises of your word. You say in Ephesians 5:18 to be full of the Spirit. Lord, I don't believe that you tell us to do things that you don't enable us to do. So fill me now, I ask. In Christ's name, amen. As we read this account here in Mark, we find a woman who has a desperate need. She searched all over the place for answers to this need, to solutions to this need. But this situation that she was in eventually led her to the belief that Jesus Christ had the answer to her need. Likewise, for us, we need to see from this passage that Jesus Christ has everything that we need to meet our needs. First of all, we see that Jesus Christ is all we need when you're in a desperate situation. Jesus Christ is all that you need when you're in a desperate situation. Here she is. She has this issue of blood. For 12 years, she's tried to find the answer. Do you have any desperate situations in your life now? Are you facing any rough times? Maybe you have lost a job. Maybe you're going through a tough time financially. Maybe spiritually you have declined and you have a great need. And you see this need and you're trying to figure out what to do with it. There are other desperate situations. If you're not going through one now, there are desperate situations that you will face in the future. But we're going to see here in a few minutes that every person in this room has a desperate need at this very moment, and we're going to learn how we deal with that. What are you going to do when you find out in the future that you have that incurable cancer? What are you going to do if you get the next pink slip? What are you going to do if everything starts going down the drain in your relationships, your family relationships, your marriage gets to the point to where it's on the rocks? This lady here, she gives us the example of what we need to do. See, she'd been sick for 12 years with this issue of blood. This issue of blood, to put it bluntly, was a hemorrhage. It was something that for 12 years that she constantly had, constantly hemorrhaging. You think about it. Think about the effect that that would have on you. Think about how desperate that situation would be. See, this thing of this issue of blood was a big deal in the nation of Israel. If you go back to the Old Testament, we see, first of all, that this lady would have been considered unclean. If you look in the book of Leviticus, someone who had an issue of blood was estranged from the people. They were considered unclean. They couldn't hang around with everyone. That means that she would have been alone. She might have had her family, but to be able to come into the synagogue, that is not something that would have been allowed of her with that issue of blood. Can you imagine how she felt 12 years being ostracized from her community? Can you imagine how she felt 12 years being ostracized from her friends? Can you imagine how she felt 12 years being ostracized from being able to go into the temple of the living God and worship Him there? It was because of this issue of blood. You know, this situation would be desperate, not only because she would be unclean and because she would lose her, or she would not be able to have contact with her friends and she would be alone, but it would also make her weak. I'm going to try and be as general as I can here, but think about having an issue of blood, a hemorrhage for 12 years, and think of how you would feel every day. Losing that blood. You would be in a weakened condition. And we see that all of this gets her to the point that after 12 years, she's unclean, she's alone, she's weak, and she gets to the point that she has no hope. She has no hope whatsoever. Look back at verse 26 of Mark 5. It says that she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. She was out of money. She couldn't go to more doctors. She was without hope. She had tried the doctors and everything that they could to cure her. It was unpleasant what she was going through. If you read the remedies, I'm going to read you some here in a few minutes. If you read the remedies that they had for people with an issue of blood, you would see why it says that she suffered many things. Don't you hate it when you have something wrong and people give you all their home remedies? I mean, how many of them really work? How many home remedies do you know to get rid of hiccups? Hold your breath, drink water, eat peanut butter, scare them. And there's probably 50 or 60 more ways to get rid of hiccups. When you're kids and, you know, you get warts or something like that, you know, there's 50 million different home remedies to get rid of warts, and they never seem to work. Well, that's kind of what happened here. See, the Jews, they had something. They had their law, and then they had something called the Talmud. And it was kind of amplification of the law. It was the rabbis, all of their teachings, and it really encompassed everything in Jewish life. Listen to some of the solutions that they had to this issue of blood. take a gum of Alexandria, the weight of a zuzi, that's a silver coin, of alum the same, of crocus the same, let them be bruised together and given in wine to the woman who has an issue of blood. If this does not benefit, take of Persian onions 3 logs, or 3 pints, boil them in wine, give them to her to drink, and when you give it to her, say, arise from thy flux. If this does not cure her, set her in a place where two ways meet, and let her hold a cup of wine in her right hand, and let someone come up behind her and frighten her and say, arise from thy flux. Does that sound familiar? Hiccups, being frightened. These home remedies, they're absolutely crazy. Listen to this one. But if that do no good, take a handful of cumin, a handful of crocus, and a handful of fenugreek. Let these be boiled in wine and give them to her to drink and say, arise from thy flux. I found 10 other solutions to this problem. And you see these home solutions or these home remedies. But these were doctors. She kept going to the doctors. This was the best medicine of her day. I'll never forget when I lived in Indianapolis and I worked with juvenile delinquents. I got a really bad stomach ache one night. And the nurse who was there on the premises evidently did not believe in Pepto-Bismol. I don't know if it was because she didn't have it or she just didn't think that it would work. And she said, I've got just the thing for you. We go into the kitchen. She puts a cup on the table. And she gets this big gallon container of vinegar. Pours the vinegar in there. And then she goes and she gets some honey. And she pours the honey in there. And then she mixes it all together. She goes, drink. This will take care of it. Well, it helped. It helped my stomach feel better. But I realized later on the only reason it made my stomach feel better was because it tasted so bad, and that's all I could think about was how bad it tasted. That didn't work, and these things didn't work for this lady either. 10 cures. Sounds like some of the doctors we have in our day. You keep going, they keep trying different things, trying to find out what it is. But through all of this, she didn't get better. Things only got worse. I can imagine this desperate woman who for 12 years kept visiting every doctor that she could find. Can you imagine the first year the issue of blood starts, she goes to every doctor in her neighborhood and she can't find one that'll help her. The second year she hears of a doctor in Samaria that had helped someone in a similar situation, so she goes to see that doctor. The third year she heard of a doctor in Jerusalem who would help someone, so she goes to see him. The fourth year she goes to see another doctor. The fifth year, the sixth year, doctor after doctor after doctor. The seventh year, the eighth year, the ninth year, the tenth year, the 11th year, and still no hope. Nothing gets better. You know, this lady reminds me of how each one of us are spiritually. Reminds me, first of all, of someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you haven't been saved. What do you use to seek the solutions to your problems? I know some people, they seek peace year after year. And they can't find it. They try different churches. Maybe if I go to this church. Maybe if I try this branch of Christianity. Maybe if I try the Mormons. Maybe if I try the Jehovah's Witnesses. Maybe if I go to this church. They try books. They find all the books they can, trying to find some peace in their life. Trying to find some solutions to their problems. Maybe it gets to the point to where you're on antidepressants. You're continually depressed. Maybe it gets to the point where you have to go into therapy or you're in counseling because you can't deal with your problems. You can't deal with the situations that you face. Maybe it has even descended at times into drugs and alcohol. And the only reason you do those things is just because they deaden the pain. And you keep doing it because you can't find peace anywhere. You're like this lady year after year after year looking for the solution. And you can't find it. Many people today, and I'm sad to say this, many people today go to men like Joel Osteen, somebody who tells them, if you think happy thoughts, it'll make your life better. That's baloney. Like this woman, there's a desperate need. But many people don't realize what that need is. See, the fact is, if you're not saved, if you have not accepted the forgiveness that Christ offered, if your sins aren't forgiven and you're going to heaven, there's something in between you and God. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of His glory. There's a great gulf fixed between the lost person and God. And everything that person may try to do to get there, to get to God, to get to fellowship with Him, to get forgiveness of sins outside of Jesus Christ, it's no good. The Bible is clear about that. Titus 3:5 tells us that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. We have a great need. That thing is the need of having our sins forgiven. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, Brother Matt, I'm not saved. I don't know that my sins are forgiven. I don't know that I'm God's child. I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I have a pretty good life. I don't have any big situations going on right now. I don't see what the desperate need is. There's a need that you don't know about. Because Romans 6:23 is very clear. It says, for the wages, that is the payment of sin, is death. That is eternal separation from Almighty God for all eternity in that awful place called hell. Whether you realize it or not, that sin is separating you from God. And if you leave here today without Jesus Christ and you die, it will be eternity separated from Him. That is a desperate need, my friends. The comparison doesn't end there, though. If you're saved and you're here today, you have a desperate need as well. You might have your sins forgiven, but there's this thing that we have in our life called a sin nature. It keeps cropping up. It keeps holding us back spiritually. We aren't much different at times. Christians, year after year, seeking answers to our problems. We'll read this book. We'll listen to this preacher. Maybe he can help me. We'll go to this seminar. Now, I'm not saying that those things are bad, but if those things do not point to Jesus Christ, if they offer any solution outside of that, then it's wasted. It's no good. Year after year, maybe there's someone here today who is a believer and they've said, my Christian life has been so frustrating because year after year I can't seem to find peace. I can't seem to find victory over sin. I can't seem to live like Christ would want me to live. We're spiritually weak and we know it, yet we can't seem to find the answer. Do you ever find yourself going to the altar, maybe sometimes week after week, or continually guilty, continually struggling with one sin that whoops you all the time? I still find myself there sometimes. And what I'm doing is I'm seeking the Lord, but I find myself looking for books. Maybe this book will give me the key. Or I'll listen to sermons from other preachers, from Pastor Tom. Maybe that is the thing that will help me. I'll find myself at the altar where I would cry, why can't I do what's right? Or I'll find myself in periods where I don't seem to have God's power in my life. God, why can't I preach? Why can't I teach with power? Or I'll find myself not able to win souls. God, why can't I win people to You? You tell me to be a soul winner and I can't do it. I'll find myself saying, God, why can't I be that man of prayer that sees You do great things in my family? And I start looking for the solutions. I start looking for the answer. And it's easy for us. It's easy for me. It's easy for you to become like this woman spiritually, trying to find the person or the book or the sermon that will help you. When the answer is in front of you all the time, the answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is all that you need. This woman has tried for 12 long years to find something that would help. And she hears of Jesus and she immediately knows that she has the answer. She gets to the point to where she gives up on the doctors. She gives up on everything else. My friend, just as the answer to the lady's need was Jesus Christ, the answer to your needs, your spiritual needs, is Jesus Christ as well. If indeed Jesus Christ is all you need, secondly, doesn't it make sense that we should seek Him alone for our needs? If He is all that you need, shouldn't we seek Him alone for our needs? Notice what it says in verse 27 and 28. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. She has this desire to be made whole, to be healed. If you look at it, though, verse 28 comes in time before verse 27. Look at it. For she said, if I may but touch His clothes, I shall be whole. And then then you say you're coming up behind Jesus. So it's kind of going back in verse 28 and telling you what she was thinking as she was approaching Jesus. This was not a casual decision on her part. This wasn't one of these situations, well, maybe if I can get to him, he'll help me. But if not, I'll just try something else. That wasn't this type of situation for this lady. Maybe this wasn't the type of situation where she says, well, I'll try Jesus to see if he works. She was desperate. She was determined to get to Jesus. Notice in verse 27, it says, verse 28, for she said, if I may touch his clothes, I should be whole. If you could pull this out and read it in the original language, it's called imperfect tense. It means it continuous action. That means she heard of Jesus. And when she heard of Jesus and she heard that he was going to be in her town, she got in that crowd and she kept saying to herself over and over and over, I've got to get to Jesus. He's my only hope. I've got to get to Jesus. He's the only hope I have. He's the only hope. And she says it over and over and over again. She was desperately, determinedly seeking him. I wonder if she was thinking back over those 12 years of frustration. Those 12 years of disappointment, thinking, finally, I have hope. Finally, this thing that has bothered me all these years, that's alienated me from my family and my people, that's made me so weak, I have some hope here. Oh, beloved, we must do the same. All the things that we struggle with, all those needs that we have, let's put everything aside and let's seek Jesus. He is the answer to that. Don't listen to people who don't point to Jesus Christ. Don't listen to a preacher who does not make Christ preeminent in his preaching. He's a false prophet. Don't read books. I've walked into Walmart sometime and walked into the religion section and my stomach turns at people who call themselves people of God and they talk about the better you. I talk about the better Christ because He is the one who can make me better, not me, never, ever. Not one day, not one minute, not one second of my life. You've got to get back to Jesus. I've got to get back to Jesus. You know, we've a lot of times come to think of the Christian life of serving God the best that we can. There was a man who wrote a book about 50 years ago called We Would See Jesus. His name was Roy Hessian. And in that book, he talks about this desire for us that we be effective for God. And there's nothing wrong with that. We do want to be effective for God. But this is what he said. We learn to seek those things that will make us effective for God. And learning those things has become the important thing. To carry out service for God, we need power. And so what do we do? Instead of longing for Christ, our longing is for power to serve Him better. We judge our rightness with God by our success instead of judging it by our relationship with Christ. We judge how good a Christian we are by the things we do. And now I'm not saying that we don't do good works. Paul wrote Titus 4+ times in the book of Titus. He told Titus to show a pattern of good works. But if you're seeking power, if you're seeking to be effective outside of Christ, then you're on the wrong track. I'm on the wrong track if that's what I'm seeking to do. I'm saying that sometimes we lose focus of what makes us effective. It's not methods. It's not learning a new way of soul winning, though those things can help. What makes us effective is Christ living His life through us. Paul talked about in Colossians 2:19. He said there were people who professed to be believers who did not hold on to the head. Because he said that from the head, that Jesus Christ, comes all the nourishment from the body. That word hold there means to cling to. He said there are people in churches who do not cling to Christ. And the implication is you cling to Christ because He has everything you need. You go over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, and he starts talking about Christ is our life. Is Christ your life? Are you a believer? Is He everything to you? Is He all you need? Do you live like He is all that you need? We need Jesus so desperately because He has something that we don't have and that we'll never have. He has delivering power. She hadn't been able to get the answer for 12 years, just like so many Christians, and trying to find all these different ways to be effective, if you will. Jesus told us in John 15 that without Him we could do nothing. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? that without Him you can do nothing, then why do we live our lives like we can do things without Him? Sir, you're hooked on that pornography. And I'm not foolish enough, so foolish that to believe that in this auditorium today there's not some man here who is hooked on pornography. If I was a betting man, and I'm not, I'd put money on it. Do you think that you will ever be able to give that up? Now listen to this. This is important. Many a person has, by their will, set things aside. But do you think you will ever be able to stop doing something and then stop wanting to do it? See, there's a difference. Charles Trumbull talked about what he calls counterfeit victory. There is a victory where we can will ourselves to stop doing something, but it's not real victory because our heart is still in it. We still want to look at that pornography. We still want to engage in that. Man, do you think that you'll be able to stop worrying and trying to take control of your family and not trusting God to work through your husband on your own? Only Jesus can do that through you. Friend, do you think that you can put that bottle down, those cigarettes down, those drugs down, not to where you can just put them down and will it away, but to where you don't want to do it anymore? To where it disgusts you to think about it. Jesus can take you there. Believer, do you think you will ever gain control of your tongue and that insidious pride that's in your life apart from Jesus Christ? You can seek every way in the world to put it down. You can try years to put it down, but apart from Him, it will not happen. Sir, what about that lust? You might not be addicted to pornography. What about the addiction you have in your mind? You think you'll ever be able to stop that apart from Christ? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I tell you, you can. You absolutely cannot. Sir or ma'am, maybe you're here today and you don't know that your sins are forgiven. You're going to heaven. Do you think that you'll make it to heaven apart from Christ? Do you think that there's anything that you can do to somehow merit your way to that? When the Bible says that if you believe not, these are the Bible's words, not mine. If you believe not, you are condemned already. Let me put that in plain language. If you believe not, you are condemned to that awful place called hell already. Christ has a solution to that. He offers forgiveness for your sin. That's where we find this dear lady. She's at the end of her rope. She has nothing left to do but trust the power of Christ. Jesus is all you need when you're in desperate situations. If Jesus is all we need, should we not seek Him alone to meet those needs? And finally, if Jesus is all we need, if this is the case, should we not depend on Him alone by faith? Should we not depend on Him alone by faith? See, it wasn't enough that this lady wanted to touch Jesus. It wasn't enough that she just touched the hem of His garment. She was willing to depend on Him. She had faith in Him that He would actually do this thing. See, lots of people today want to be seen with Jesus. Church in America has become a social thing in so many ways. It's the answer to the question. When somebody asks you, what church do you go to? And you can say, I can go to this church. It's another trophy that we add to our closet along with Rotary and Lions Club or whatever else we do. The sports that we play. There are a lot of people who want to be seen with Jesus. You know, there are a lot of people who want to, and I put this in quotation marks, want to touch Jesus because it's the cool thing to do in some ways. It makes you feel good to go to church and wave your arms around and say you've touched Jesus or that you've been touched by Him. That's all superficial. Are you depending on Him? Are you leaning on Him? See, that's the essence of faith, depending on Christ. Look at what happened in verse 29 when she reached out to touch Jesus. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, to go down to verse 34. And He said, that's Jesus, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. She was brought back to normal. She was healed physically. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, if we're to be brought back to normal spiritually, brought back to the place where we routinely, God, see answer, mighty prayers on our behalf, get back to the point where we see people saved, where we see God, Christ living His life through us, we have to be brought back to normal. And the only key to that is dependence on Christ. Getting back to Christ. If you're not saved here today, it is faith alone that will save you. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." That means you don't work for it. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Jesus Christ will meet that need. He is all that you need in that area. If you're saved here today and you want to be brought back to normal Christianity, to where you see those souls saved, those prayers answered, and you're in sweet fellowship with the Lord, it is dependence on Christ alone that will do this. John Payton, the great missionary to the New Hebrides Islands, he was looking for a way to translate the word believe, or in essence the word faith. And he was looking for the meaning of the word. And he looked and he looked and he looked because he was looking for the word picture that he could use in that language. And he finally found the best description for it. This is what it was. He finally found the exact meaning: to lean your whole weight upon. That's the essence of faith. That's the essence of belief. When you get saved, you lean your whole weight on Christ. And you say, "If I'm going to heaven, you're taking me. I'm not taking myself. I'm not doing this myself." It's leaning your whole weight on Jesus. It's putting everything on Him. That's what this lady did. And Jesus said, "It is your faith that has made you whole." Notice it wasn't the fact that she touched Jesus. Notice it wasn't the fact that she was just with Jesus. Notice it was her faith that made her whole. You know what? You can come to church every week, and the fact that you come to church isn't going to save you. It's belief on Jesus. You can hang around with Christians in your spare time. You know, that's kind of like being around church. That's not going to save you. You can read your Bible every day. Touch it. Makes you feel good. But it's belief. It's faith that saves. And for you, believer, it's not coming to church that's going to give you victory over sin. It's not even doing all the right things that's going to give you victory over sin. It is depending on Christ, the one who never sinned, who is willing to live His life through you. I close with this. Believers, there's this interesting disconnect in our life. When we come to Jesus, I don't know if you've noticed this, when we come to Jesus, we come leaning wholly on Him. We have no other way into heaven. We are at the end of our rope. We say, "If I'm going to heaven, it's because of Jesus alone." But something happens after we get saved. It stops there. We start to get frustrated. So we start looking for answers. We start to get depressed. So we start seeking medications. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't medications that can legitimate uses for that. But my guess is that the vast majority of it in Christians is just because they don't know how to depend on Christ. They're looking for answers in all the wrong places. And there's this disconnect in our life. Somehow after we get saved, we start to struggle with our sin nature, and we forget how we came to Christ, leaning wholly on Him. And so we start to lean on ourselves. We start to try and do it in our own power. We start to try and do it by our faith. And many of us continue years in struggle. Years to where we don't have victory. Years to where we can't overcome our problems until we finally get to the end of our rope. We get so fed up and we say, "Lord, help." And that's what Jesus has been waiting for. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." That's what He's been waiting for. You know what? He did it when you were saved. He took your sin away when you were saved. He forgives you of your sin now and restores you to fellowship. He's waiting to live His life through you. I think of that great hymn that proclaims, "Jesus Christ has made to me all I need. All I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power. Holiness this very hour. My redemption full and sure. He is all I need." There is no blessing that God has for you if you're lost. Salvation does not come apart from depending on Christ. Maybe there's someone here today. I understand the gospel, Brother Matt. I understand that Jesus died for me. I understand that He was buried and that He rose again. I just can't get to the point of trust. Lean on Him. Just put your whole weight on Him. And what you do when you get saved is you just say, Lord Jesus, if I'm going to heaven, it's because of You. It's not because of me. It's not because of my education. It's not because of my money. It's not because of my family. It's not because of my church. I'm going to heaven because I'm leaning on what You did on the cross. I'm leaning on what You did for me. Believer, if you're here today, what are you struggling with? What sin has you ensnared? Here's the great thing. You know what? Those sins did not ensnare the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says that He is willing to live His life through us. We know the verse well, Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He lives through you. He has won the victory over sin. He never sinned. He has given that victory to you this very moment. He's waiting on you to depend on Him, to lean on Him, and stop trying to do it yourself. My friends, Jesus Christ is all you need. He's what you need in desperate situations. If indeed He is all you need, then we should seek Him alone for those needs. And then we should also depend on Him alone for those needs. Every head bow, every eye closed.